Welcome back to Behind the Play. My name is Alex Adams, and I'm joined by one of the best hockey writers in the business, Sean of The Athletic. because there's
That's
only
right.
one. There's only
Only
one.
one. Only one Sean worth talking about at the Athletic.
Exactly. Sean, I'm kind of curious for you. What's it like being a hockey writer during the dog days of the summer when nothing's really going on? Like, how antsy, how restless are you for the season to start, or are you like, I just need an Edmonton Oilers offer sheet and this makes my summer?
It's probably a lot tougher on people who write about actual news than what I do. Like, I'm sure if you're somebody who's like waiting for news to break, then I mean you got nothing. It's and unless you're like a big shot like Pierre and you could just like vanish off to the cottage and then that's it. The rest of us, if you're sitting around going like, oh man, like I'm waiting for practice to start so I can start doing line rush combinations and that sort of stuff. Whereas for me, I don't really do that, so I don't mind the summer because it's sort of like where I can just be like, all right, let's look at the list of stuff, the list of ideas. What's the stuff that I didn't have the guts to do in December? Because I know I'm gonna get, I got that, oh, slow news day. Like, is this really the most important? Like, you can do that in August because somebody shows up, like, yeah, slow news day. Yeah, slow news month, man. Like, try to keep up. There's nothing going on in August. So, yeah, we're gonna do weird stuff. My experience has been that there's a certain percentage of the audience that likes that stuff. And then there's a certain percent of the audience that's already checked out. So, they're fine. And then there's a couple of people who like to complain, but like, what do you want me to do, man? Nothing's happened in a week. So yeah, we're gonna get a little strange.
Is that something where you're, at your a cottage or outside in your backyard and you're just on a lawn chair and you're just thinking about, Mikhail Grabowski's 2013 season? Like, what's that like for
Yeah.
you kind of
A
behind?
lot of it, like I say, a lot of it is like I get asked this a lot. They're like, do you have a list somewhere? I do. I've got a list. It's a I don't know why it's a Google email draft. I
Okay.
at some point that felt like to me like it, the easiest way to do it. And it's just a long list of things. And a lot of times, like during the season, an idea will pop into my head. And sometimes it's an immediate thing and it's something like, okay, this is what I'm gonna do this week. But sometimes it's like, you know what, there's something here, but I haven't quite got it yet on how to approach it. And then other times it's like, okay, there is some here and I know how I do it, but I can't. It's like the trade deadline's in 2 weeks. This isn't the right time for it. And then sometimes there's just something where I'll write it down and I go, I don't love this right now, but I'm gonna keep it on the list just in case. And I mean, there's stuff that's been on the list for years. Years and years and years, and it just keeps moving further and further down, and it's never gonna get done. But my rule for myself is I never take anything off the list. I will add things on. I take them off when I've done them. But other than that, okay. And there's some bad ideas on there, man. There's some dumb stuff. And there's also stuff that like I will take these ones off. But like I've written a note to myself at some point, and it's like I'm looking back, and it's like, it's like Grabowski question mark. And it's like that. What was that supposed to mean to me? Like I don't know. But in the summer, there are times where I will go down the list and I'll be like, oh, okay. This thing's been sitting there for years. You know what? Let's screw it. We're doing it. And then sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't.
Can you give maybe an example of that, where you had something maybe in the ether for a couple years and then you put it out and it all came together?
I don't know how well it necessarily all comes together, but most of the summer stuff, most of the like, hey, who would win, a team of this or a team of that, or let's build the best rosters per team and that sort of thing. A lot of that is the all-time peak for that, of course. And the reason I'm glad I've been keeping this list for years and years was 2020, when the sports world shut down. And
Yes.
at the Athletic, like there was panic would be the wrong word, but there was some concern. Like we're a sports website, a subscription-based sports website, and there's going to be no sports for at least a few months. And they told us, they're like, all right, like get weird, get creative. And I heard get weird and I'm like, this is it. Like that's my music just hit. Like this is my time. And so it's like some of the strangest things. Like I would have never done what player scored the most goals that match their jersey number in it, probably even a regular offseason. But it's when the offseason's like 6 months long and you're not sure if sport's ever coming back. Ah, screw it. Let's roll. Let's see how it works. And that was an example of one that it wasn't until I was writing it that I realized, oh, okay, I see how this is gonna go. All right, I've got something here. And then sometimes you think you've got something and you put it out there and the audience goes, nah, you actually didn't have something. Or maybe you did have something, but the algorithm winds were blowing in the wrong direction that day and it just doesn't go anywhere. But sometimes it does. And like that was an example of one that I know that there's not any other writer out there who would have written that piece. I probably shouldn't have written it, but I did, and it worked. And the handful that work make up for the other ones that maybe not so much.
The thing I always am just so blown away by with your work is just your level of like you are in a sense a hockey historian. Like, what is that process like to find out, Joe Blow in 1946 scored 29 goals and his number, like what's that like for you when you're
Yeah,
kind of digging?
it's I mean that is a big part of it is that I do know a lot of the history stuff and a lot of it is like just the minor dumb little stuff. And I don't think I'm alone in that. I know that like I mean right like it's become a cliche at this point, but it's true. You get a bunch of dudes together and what do? Right? We remember some guys. We just throw out a name and you're just like, I remember that guy. And then, maybe somebody tells a story about some weird thing that happened, but that's what we do. So I have very much a remember some guys mentality. I'm also getting good at figuring out where to look for neat stuff. And I have a bunch of I'm not smart enough to like know how to like go to a site like Hockey Reference or whatever and like scrape it into some database. And like people always ask me that. They're like, do you have a thing where you just go in and you have all this? And I'm like, nope. But I know how to like look for it in a way that probably would make people cringe because I got like 20 open tabs and I'm like going through and like all these little tricks that I have figured out over the years so I can find stuff that a lot of people I think would just give up on. And then part of it is I'm just when I do sink my teeth into something I get I get obsessed enough that like the goals one. Literally the only way to do that was to get the list of goals and just check everybody and just be going down the list. And all right, like a lot of people would be like, no, I'm not going to do that. But once I sort of figured out where it was going and how it was, then it was like, okay, this is going to work. This is going to turn into something. But the only way it's going to do it is if I actually put the work in, because I could do that whole thing. And and all the it's one of my favorite pieces I've ever written, and like the reveal at the end and the Glenn Murray and the like this and that. I can do all of that, and if the first comment is somebody being like, actually this guy scored 52 goals in and that blows the whole thing. It screws the whole thing up because now people don't react to it the same way because I didn't because I got sloppy on something. So a little bit of luck, a little bit of putting too much time into it, but you know what? Like what am I'm going to complain like, oh, I spent too much. I spent all day looking through Hockey Reference tab. Well, yeah, I mean, all my colleagues are spending all day in airports or all day at practice rinks, and I'm sitting at home just clicking, buttons. I can't complain about it. Like this is the least I should be doing. I should absolutely be on this.
What was, maybe on the idea of like kind of weird stories, what do you find looking at this off season? I know you said that it was a media weird off season. It wasn't maybe the heights of David Clarkson, but what was maybe the weirdest moment for you from this summer's off season in the NHL?
Yeah, so there, I mean, there was a lot of fun stuff. Maybe not a lot. There was enough fun stuff. We got some offer sheets. That's what we always
Yes.
complain about that. We finally got the dual offer sheet that like has been theoretical for years and years. Some decent trades, some signings. The Jeremy Swayman story is still a fun one. To me, the weirdest moment of the offseason was when the Carolina Hurricanes announced, I can't remember who did they sign where it was the deferred compensation.
Oh, Jarvis.
Thank you. So they signed Seth Jarvis and there's like this Okay, they signed Seth Jarrett. Good for them. And then this like story kind of comes out that like they've used deferred payments to lower the cap hit. And you're like, what? And then like there were a couple of articles that went out that day that just made it sound like, oh, holy crap! Like they have really found something here. There is this whole loophole, and if you put the money here, it doesn't count, and it's this and that, and it's like, oh damn! Like why hasn't everybody been doing this? Like that? Oh, that Tulsi, you know, he outsmarted all of us. And there was like one day, and I'm like, I was on like text chains with like people and like, you know, fellow media people were like, do you get this? Like, does this make sense to you? Because this sounds like a big deal, but I don't really understand why it works this way. And then it felt like a day or two later, we all realized, like, oh no, it's not. It's just deferred money is worth less. So that's why the cap hit is less. Like, there's no great,
No.
you know, other than that, there was nothing to it. But like, it was that fun day where we thought that, like, the Hurricanes had completely broken the salary cap, completely glitched it out for a day. And then it was like, no, it was actually pretty boring.
Do you miss the chaos in Ottawa? You know, I know you live here as well. Just that, you
Yeah.
know, do you miss all the Pierre Dorianisms and Melnick and everything?
I mean, just purely, and I say this obviously as someone who is not a Senators fan,
Nope.
but it's the Melnick era. Was interesting. Let's put it. Isn't it like what's the old like? They say it's like an Irish curse or something. May you live in interesting times. Like the Eugene Melnick era were interesting times, and yeah, I do. So like, you know, talking about weird off-season stories, I do every year. Piece I call it the Bizarro Meter, where I sit down, I go, who had the weirdest off-season? And I've only once ever given a 10 out of 10, and that was the Ottawa Senators that won. Ridiculous offseason where it was the Mike Hoffman, Eric
Oh,
Carlson with the,
yes.
you know, the wives and girlfriends and feuding and like, you know, were people hacking into Instagram accounts and there was like Randy Lee. I think the
Yes.
Cody Ceci barbecue was that year. There were like all sorts of, you know, other things going on. And people, whenever I say this, people go, yeah, the Uber ride. And the Uber ride wasn't even that summer. That was like a few months later.
Yes.
But you know, like Carlson was on the trade block and Mark Stone and all, like it just kept going and going. And that was the summer that ended with Melnick forcing Mark Berwicky to do that terrible, like almost hostage video quality, like, oh, you're such a wonderful owner. What's it like to be so amazing, Mr. Melnick? And you know, it was just I mean, they packed a decade of weirdness into one. And if you're a Senators fan, it was exhausting. You hated it. You're like, please just get this dude off my screen. Or so certainly a much better situation in Ottawa these days, with what appears to be decent ownership. You know, you've got a smart owner, you've got a smart GM, you've got smart people around it, you've got a so-so communications guy, but that's fine. Everyone else can pick up the slack on that. And it's great if you're a fan, but if you're somebody like me, it's like, ah, oh, come on, stop being normal, guys. Like, let's get weird again.
I miss Pierre Dorianisms. Like Steve Staios just very doesn't give you anything.
Yeah.
Pierre Dorian is
Nobody's come up and hugged him after any trades.
oh.
Nobody's, you know, he hasn't had his best day at his job or whatever it was when
You
he,
say the second son? If I had a second son, it'd be Tyler Cleven. Yep. Yeah, just
yeah.
those things. It's bygone era
You
and
miss
all.
Pierre. I can't believe it's so weird that no other team has snapped him up. You don't hear him mentioned with any of the other. I will say this for Pierre Dorion. In addition to, like a lot of GMs, head is good, head is bad. You know, head. I hated the Carlson trade when it happened. We all did. Ended up working out great. So he, it is one thing you learn as you get older in life is the ability to manage up is a crucial skill. And whatever you think of Pierre Dorion as a GM and the moves he made and even the person that he was, he might have been one of a handful of people on the planet who could have worked for Eugene Melnick for that long. And you know, that's maybe not a compliment because you know that was probably why he was in the job that long. But it's easy to look and say, oh, look at all these other GMs who did better job. Yeah, but
No.
they didn't have Huge looking over their shoulder. And the fact that he was able to do that without just walking off into traffic in the Queensway there was, I think, admirable in its own right.
Yeah, we need to get Pierre Dorn to manage the LRT here in Ottawa. You know, manage up, make it work. No, I'm
That'd
kidding.
be perfect.
That'd
That
be perfect.
that'd be perfect. What could go wrong? He could deliver all
Pierre
the
from
people right to the
Orleans.
door of this new arena that's happening any minute now.
Pierre from Orleans gets the LRT to Orleans. That's what we need here.
Let's do
Exactly.
it.
Let's do
He's not doing anything these days. Let's go. Let's make it happen.
Exactly. I want to go from, the Senators to, your team in the Toronto Maple Leafs. How excited are you about this season? I know you've been so invested in the core four, and now that they return, it makes for such a exciting season in
Yeah,
Toronto.
I'm thrilled. Oh boy. I mean, I've said this at other places. I can't remember in my life as a hockey fan being less excited for a regular season coming up. And I say that not to say, the team's bad. Obviously, it's a 100-point team, and I'm a Leafs fan. I've seen lots of real bad teams. But at least always there was, hey, maybe this kid'll develop. Maybe this'll happen. Maybe that'll happen. We'll see how it shakes out. They'll trade this guy. And this year, it's just like there is nothing that could happen during the regular season for the Toronto Maple Leafs that's going to matter. Nothing good. There's bad things that could happen. Guys could get hurt. They could not work under Berube, get off to a bad start, miss playoffs. Bunch of bad things. But like, what's the good thing that's going to happen that at the end of the regular season you're going to go, that was great. And you're not just going to be like, yeah, none of it matters until the playoffs. I mean, I literally feel like the point total that they would have to get to for the regular season to feel exciting, I'm thinking like 140 probably. So I mean, they'd have to
Win
break
the
the
division?
like 140 points over the course of the year. I figure that gets them to like, all right, they're back on the radar. Because I mean, that would break the all-time record by a significant amount. You can't even just like slightly break the record. Because again, like it's none of it is going to matter until game one of the playoffs. And I get that to a certain extent. And I get that there's this hockey mentality thing of like, hey, we're the one sport, man, where nothing matters but the championship. Doesn't matter what you do during the season. Doesn't matter. We make fun of people who hang banners for anything other than the cup. I get that. I get the appeal of that to an extent. But what it leads to is what the hell, what do you want me to do for 6 months? Like act like, oh, yay, good old, Nick Robertson got the 20 goals. Wonderful. It doesn't matter until they show up for game one of the playoffs. And then game one of the playoffs will be the big roller coaster ride and everything. But until then, it's 6 months of pretending like this stuff matters, and it just doesn't. So I don't know. I am not I and yes, to a certain extent, I'm sick of this core four. I'm worn out by all of this stuff. If Mitch Marner scores 130 points this year, will I be back on board? Yeah, probably a little bit more than I think I would be now. That's the nature of being a fan. But it's not going to matter until game one of the playoffs, and then they're losing 2-0 after one period, and we're all freaking out. So
Wow.
it can either be bad or pointless. Those are like the two options for the next 6 months of the Leafs season, and it's hard to get too amped up about either one.
Is pointless, Mitch Marner's stat line, or is that something? Yeah, okay.
That could be a little bit of both. Yeah, a
Okay.
little
I guess maybe going to the pointless magician in the playoffs. Just how does that saga with him, how does it not blow up? I don't see really a great resolution between the Leafs, Marner. How do you think this turns out?
I don't know. And you looked at it at the beginning of the off season, right? When the Leafs gave their press conference, and finally we heard like Brendan Shanahan say like everything is on the table, which was music to our ears, because for like 7 years now, after you they fail in the playoffs, and then they immediately like it's almost like the postseason press conference is like, before anyone even asks, no, we're not trading anyone, we're not changing anything, nobody needs to worry, nobody needs to even sweat a little bit, it's we believe in this group, and we're not even picking up the phone. And then they finally didn't do that this year, and then nothing happened. And like, we get it, right? No movement clause, doesn't want it. Like, sure. The only two, I guess there were three ways this could have played out. One could have been Marner could have been open to going somewhere. Like maybe, I think a lot of us thought that after the playoffs, where it's like, Yeah, he's wearing all this again. He's the poster child. He's the one that the fans have all decided to dump on. So maybe he wants out. Well, he didn't want out. He didn't want to go anywhere. Option number two is you basically make the choice to go to battle with this guy. And you say, we're gonna make it uncomfortable. We're gonna do things behind the scenes, and we're gonna put stories out there and all of this, and we're gonna squeeze you. And as much as, for not just a certain segment of the fan base, but a certain segment for like your fan's brain, there's part of you that's like, do it. Let's go. Let's, but honestly, you can understand why the Leafs would say, we're not going down that road. We're not doing that in Toronto of all places. I mean, my God, the media circus around something like that. So that leads to option three, which is you just sort of get where you are now, and everyone's kind of waiting to see how it plays out. Do they re-sign him? Do they, I don't know.
Do
It,
you want
it's
them to re-sign him?
I don't, but what's the number? What does it look like? I mean, that's the thing. I'm just, what I don't want is for them to do the same thing they've done for all these guys, which is just roll over constantly. And just, that's why, that's why poor Nick Robertson, like, man, like in addition to other hockey reasons why his whole stance this offseason was like a bad idea, you had a fan base that was like, can you guys for once not roll over for
Yes.
any player who says like, and so yeah, I mean, if Mitch Marner comes and says, look, I'm willing to do a shorter deal, I'm willing to do, he's obviously not going to come in and go, oh yeah, I'll take the league minimum just because I'm going to be a nice guy. But if they're willing to do something a little more reasonable, fine. But if he comes in and he says, I want Austin Matthews money because the people around me tell me I'm an Austin Matthews level talent, and then no, I don't want them to sign him. Now, that having been said, okay, Sean, so July 1st when he leaves and he goes down and joins the Florida Panthers for, whatever it is, you're not going to complain, you're not going to criticize the Maple Leafs. Oh no, I am. I absolutely will. That's part of the duality of what I get to do. I get to think they're wrong no matter what. But look, the reality was the time to do it was last summer. Brad Treliving came in. I don't for a second buy this idea that, oh, he got hired in June. He only had a month. So what, man? You can do things in a month. You're a GM. The whole Matthew Tkachuk situation played out in two weeks in Calgary the year before. So it can happen. They just chose not to do it. And Brad Treliving could have come in and said, hey guys, I'm the new GM, fresh set of eyes here. Everything's on the table for me. I have no attachment to anybody. I've seen this team fail from the outside. I'm going to do some things here. Could have done it. Chose not to. Okay. It wasn't a completely unreasonable choice, but it was a choice. And now this is the outcome of the choice, is you're sort of stuck with the same group yet again. They did exactly what I just described with Marner. That's what they did with Nylander last year, right? Didn't get him. Waited until he was at the absolute peak of their value, rolled over, showed their tummies, and said, we're going to give you 11.5. And, even now people look at it, it's like, what? They really? This is, yeah, because they give these guys whatever they want. So Marner will probably get it too. He'll probably get a nice big long extension, and we'll be told that there's no other way to do it. And it won't be true, but it'll satisfy probably enough of the fan base that we will see. We'll see where it goes.
What is, you talk about the regular season doesn't matter, which I think we've heard, what is it, 5, 6, 7 years in a row with this Leafs team. But
Yeah.
overall, what is the pathway looking at the team they're putting on the ice this year that for them to, I don't know if the cup is, it's not cup or bust, but to finally win maybe two rounds, maybe win a round and do okay in the second round. Like what is
Yeah.
the pathway in your mind for
That I
that?
mean, the path is pretty self-evident in a sense, in that they should be a 100-point team that gets you in the playoffs. You get into the playoffs, I mean, you're supposed to have to be 50-50 to win a round. Like, I mean, this is, a quarter of the league does it every single year. And as much as I think there's clearly some flaws here, as much as I love to pile on the Stars for not performing and this and that, and there is an element of this across the league where the playoffs feels like we're flipping coins, right? There's, anybody can beat anyone. Doesn't feel like home ice really matters. Doesn't feel like being the favorite really matters. You saw the Panthers beating the Bruins last year when it was like a 40-point gap or whatever. And I get a lot of people love this. A lot of people say this is why the NHL playoffs are the best, because you never know. But if you never know, then that's another way of saying we're flipping coins. And you could look at the Leafs, and this is sort of feels like what the internal process was for a long time, and say, like, at some point, like, sometimes the coin just comes up tails 5 times in a row, and that's it. You don't have to throw the coin out. You don't have to do all this. It just hasn't worked. And you go down the list, and Tavares got hurt that 1 year and this and that. Yeah, okay. Maybe they just have one of those runs, like, maybe get into the playoffs and have one of those runs where every year some goalie that nobody has ever heard of gets hot and just wins a round or two. What if that was a Leaf once for once instead of the other way? What if somebody, a couple of bounces go their way, this and that, and then yeah, you win a couple of rounds. It's not impossible. Like, I've sort of said that it feels like now the plan, if there is one, is to just wait for their 2018 Washington Capitals moment, right? That was the team that had previously been the poster child for the great regular season team that couldn't do it in the playoffs. Now, they couldn't do it in the second round of the playoffs, not the first. So they had at least won something. And the other thing about those Caps teams was they had won President's trophies, which, for all the talk about the Leafs being a great regular season team, they've never come close to. I mean, they were, you look at last year, oh, they lost in the first, yeah, they were the third three seed in their division. They didn't have home ice, and they lost a game seven because of home ice advantage, because the Bruins knew how the boards bounced. Like, that's how it's supposed to go, man. I'm sorry, that's not an upset. That's not anything unexpected. That's a team losing to a better team. So maybe that's part of this, is like, let's actually have a regular season where maybe we're the one seed. They've never won their division other than the All Canada year. Maybe we do that and we get a wild card team or something instead of playing the Bruins or the Panthers or whoever every year. But yeah, you just the Capitals, that 2018 Capitals team, pretty objectively, was not the best Capitals team that they've had.
No.
And yet they just got in the playoffs, and they just got some bounces, and they finally, they were, I think it was Columbus, they were playing in the first round. They were almost down, they're down 2-0, and it was
Overtime game three,
and
yep.
overtime, and they and I had one of my most retweeted tweets, because I said, they were down 2-0 in the series. It was overtime going into game three, and I tweeted, the Capitals are either going to give up the next goal and they're going to blow this roster sky high, or they're going to get the next goal and they're winning the Stanley Cup this year. And they did win the cup. And yes, I get that you can sit there and go, yeah, you know what? Because they learned how to win, and Ovechkin finally got it, and all of these guys. And, I'm sure there was some fourth liner who'd just been added to the team, and he was the glue that, all this stuff. Or the coin just started coming up heads a few times. Like, the Leafs could absolutely, like, I would, you'll never catch me sitting here banging my fist going, this Leafs team can never win with the way they're concerned. Yeah, sure they could. But it might just be a 1 in 16 chance, same as all the other teams once we get into the playoffs. Maybe you can't actually bump the odds up all that much more than that, but be nice to see them try.
Maybe lastly before I let you go, do you think captaincy in terms of Auston Matthews, like how much does that really matter in the grand scheme of
I
things?
don't.
Or more of a, especially in today's NHL?
I can't imagine it matters too much. I mean, it's symbolic, and symbolism can matter, especially in a team sport. There's like so much ritual around it and all that. So I'm not saying it doesn't matter at all. But I mean, what are we thinking that Auston Matthews, like, previously, like, had some, like, really fiery things ready to say, but he didn't, he looked down, oh, I don't have the right letter on my shirt, I can't do it. The thing that bugged me about that move, I didn't mind it. I thought it was well handled. We all knew Matthews was going to be the captain eventually, so go ahead and get him there. Sure. It just, the way it played out, like, and they announced it in, like, what, like mid-August.
Yep. Think of Friday.
Yeah, and it felt like, to me, this was kind of like the We promised you change. We haven't actually done anything, so here's some change. And the thing that bugged me was like Treliving was at that press conference. He said something along the lines of like I raised this with John Tavares right after the season, like pretty much in the exit interviews. And he was good with it, and you know, and they really worked hard to make sure that everyone understood this wasn't like a coup kind of thing. This was, you know, everyone was on board. But it's like, okay, that was in like early May. Why did it take three? If everyone's on board, why did it take you 3 months to do this? And my only answers are either A, they intentionally waited so that they would have some news to announce, like that we did something, or B, that this organization is just so big and bloated and broken that it takes 3 months to do a simple thing like change a letter, in which case, yeah, no wonder they couldn't, you know, do anything with Mitch Marner in a month or whatever. I mean, they clearly work so slowly over there. I mean, to me, it's, you know, exit. Okay, John, we lost in the first round again. We're thinking of making a captaincy change. Are you okay with it? You are? Good. Cool. The press conference is tomorrow. Like, we're gonna do this. We're gonna move, and we're gonna. And instead, I don't know what they were doing for 3 months, but 3 months kicking it around, and I don't know. I guess we'll see.
I think I asked you this last time. Do you believe in the curse? Do you believe there is a curse, or is it just the coin not?
It's a bit of the coin. It's like I've moved off of like thinking it's all the coin. I mean, there are some things with the way this team is run and the way that the guys that they have, that is that the you know the coin is weighted against them. Let's just say I don't think it's a fair 50-50 coin, but no, there's no curses. It's not the curses. It's not the fans. It's not, you know, all of this stuff. It's that it's a 32 team league that has been almost completely designed to have mandated parity and unpredictability. And yeah, at a certain point, that means that some good teams aren't going to win. Some so-so teams might win. Some teams might trick themselves into thinking they're better than they are because, you know, things go a certain way during the season. And that's that. It has, you know, it's nothing to do with curses. It's nothing to do with any of those other excuses. It's 100% just about the tax rates in Florida being too low. And there's just no way the Leafs can win
Exactly,
with
exactly.
taxes,
The NHL hate.
with functioning roads and schools and libraries around the players. There's just no way. Gotta pick one.
Sean, thanks so much for taking the time and coming on this little podcast. Is there anything you want to plug for the Athletic? Just kind of coming up, or Puck Soup,
Just
or anything
no,
more?
yeah, just ramping up the content and the coverage and all that. Got the annual prediction contest is coming out later this week, so people can jump in on that. And yeah, find the Puck Soup as well as the Athletic Hockey Show. We got Frankie Corrado every week this week. We locked him down as an every week contributor. So it's we have not been able to convince him to file the paperwork to change his name to Sean. He's being a bit of a like not really a team player.
Sean
I'll just go ahead
Corrado
and say
sounds
it, but
good.
we're but yeah, it's the two Seans and a Frank every Wednesday. So yeah, appointment listening, I'm sure.
Well, I love the show and love your work, and I'm excited for the season. And I'm sure there'll be absolutely nothing to talk about in the NHL, but specifically with the Leafs. So,
Yeah,
a
very
lot of good.
quiet team. They don't like the attention, and I mean the media just
It's all
doesn't pay a
media.
lot of attention to them anyway. So
We're
yeah.
crazy. We're crazy. It's
Yep.
all on us. It's all on us. Well, thank you so much, Sean, and we'll do this again.
Right on.